Hi, Yancy. We got caught out in my bad. Good morning. Welcome to PNC3. We're so glad you're here with us today. My name is Gerardo, or Gerardo. Mostly, I would call him G, because my name doesn't work with G. We are so glad you're here. We are in a series called Proverbs. So this is your first time. Welcome. We've been in a series called Proverbs for 1 week. And the goal of this series is that we would all read God's Word every single day. Right? There's 31 Proverbs, 31 days in July, so each day just read one Proverb. And I hope you're enjoying that. If you have not been doing it, you can jump along. We're 9 days in, so that's good. If you missed a day, it's okay. I missed 2 days. My bad, I'll admit it. I missed July 4th and the 5th. We caught up, and so we are good to go. Super excited about this series. Hope you enjoy what you read God's Word every single day, whether it's in the morning, evening, afternoon, whatever it may be. So if you need Proverbs 9, just look at your box and get that out. But I have a question for us. It's like, have you ever been invited to a party? In Proverbs 9, there's an invitation. There's an invitation for wisdom and an invitation for folly. And so, just like we've all been invited to something, you have to decide which one you're going to go to, right? We just got done with graduation, and most of the time, all the graduation parties are on the same day. Like, which one should I go to? Should I go to the fun one? Should I go to this one? Should I go to this one? Right? You decide those things. And so, we've all been invited to something. Proverbs 9 is inviting us to wisdom. There's an invitation for you, for us to go and follow wisdom, or there's an invitation for us to follow. And we're going to see what each invitation has to offer to us. And so Proverbs 9, 1 through 5 says this: wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beef. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the high places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him hear. Let him turn in here. To him who likes sense, he says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Walk in the way of insight. So wisdom is telling us what she has done, right? What she has prepared. So one of the cool things that I learned through this, because I was studying, is that wisdom prepared a banquet for us, right? Wisdom prepared a banquet to host us, right? There's vinegar here, right? She's built a house that has seven pillars, which means number seven is perfection, obviously. But also, there's endless amount of food, right? She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. Interesting thing I didn't know about wine is that I thought you could just put some heat in it and then come out and then ferment it. Put it in the cellar and it tastes. You actually have to put, like, some of the honey and spices. So I was like, oh, I know that. And you're like, that's cool. So this is what wisdom has done. She's built a house. She's prepared to take. There's a beast that's been slaughtered, right? So there's meat. Back in ancient times, right, meat wasn't available. Like, you couldn't go to the grocery store and have a selection of meat. It was very scarce. And when they did butcher sheep or lamb or whatever, it was for celebration, it was for a feast. It was a special occasion. And so we see the father, right, the dad talking to his son, hey, look, wisdom has prepared this for you. And not only has she prepared this for you, she calls out to you. Right? Whoever is simple, let them turn here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. is an invitation to those who are simple, who lack sense. So that when I read it as simple, those are people that haven't made a decision, haven't made a decision to follow wisdom or follow. It's just like, hey, where are you going to, like, obviously the Father's talking to the Son, and he hasn't made a decision to go wisdom or follow. And say, hey, this is what wisdom does. Say, hey, you need wisdom. Come here. I prepared a table for you. You need insight. Come here, right? This is what wisdom is telling us. And the cool thing about it is that there's this imagery, right? If we go all the way to the New Testament, we see Jesus kind of say the same thing in Matthew with the wedding banquet. Right? And we see how Jesus shares it to his disciples. It says this in Matthew 22:1-4, and again Jesus spoke to them in a parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave wedding feasts for his son, and his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feasts, but they did not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, to tell those who were invited, see, I prepared dinner. My ox and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding. There's some imagery. So when Jesus tells us a parable, they might, I don't know if my assumption is, they might have thought about problems. There's a connection there. And what does wisdom call us to do? To lead your simple ways. And live and walk in the way of insight. The Message version says it like this: I have prepared a wonderful spread, fresh baked bread, roast lamb, carefully selected wines. This is what wisdom has prepared for us. And this is the Message version of the end. It says, leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up to the street to a life with meaning. And today, wisdom is calling out to us. Right? We get an opportunity to lead the simple way and live and walk in the way of insight. But walking in the way of insight costs us something. Walking in the way of insight will cost us something. We have to leave something behind. I don't know what you have to believe. I know what I have to believe. But I don't know what you have to believe. You have to leave something behind. Something that is not of God. Something that is not good for you or for those around you. Something that is not righteous and holy. Something that is not kind and merciful. Something that is not compassionate. And walk in the way of insight. The problem is that sometimes we are unwilling to leave the simple way. And live. And here's where it gets hard. Here's where the gospel can convict you or give you hope. It says this in Proverbs 9:7. It says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and whoever he reproves is a wicked man. A wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. We have to leave our simple ways to live and walk in the way of insight, that it costs us something. It costs us to be reproved. It costs us to be corrected and disciplined and taught. And instructed in the way of the Lord. Are we willing to be reproved? Are we willing to receive instruction and teaching and correction and discipline? I asked Morgan as I was writing this, like, I FaceTime her. I said, hey, Morgan, my wife, I love you. I said, hey, give me a list of proofs and corrections that you've done along the way. She just smiled. Like, is this a trick? Right? I was like, no, just tell me these couple things. She's like,
Okay. And then she's like, being tough on crew. I was like, all right, what's another one? And she's like, you sure? I was like, yeah. So she started listening. I'm like, hey, raising your voice. The silence for you. Slow to forgive. This was my favorite, and I got convicted right away. It was purchasing a fuse. I'll tell you this funny story just because it's about me and this makes me look bad. So I was driving to work, and they had a shock drop. All right, if you don't know what that is, it's when they drop a brand new pair of shoes out of nowhere. It's a shock drop, all right? And so it's brand new UNC Jordans 1, Jordan 1, and I was like, ooh. And I was driving, and I had my phone, I was driving with my phone, and I was like, it's 9:59, it's going to drop at 10, I was like, I'm waiting, it was the longest minute of my life, I was like, come on, and so I clicked it, and I was like, all right, perfect, I was like, God, if I get these, it's a sign, but if I do, it's because you wanted me to, right? Yeah, that was not, yes, thank you. So anyway, I drive, I get here, and I don't get it. And so then I call her, and I'm like, hey, what's some recruits? And then she's telling me, and I'm like, well, shoes? And she started laughing. I was like, you know what? I didn't get these pair of shoes. She's like, you didn't get it because you weren't selected to get it. It wasn't your choice. I was like, guess what? I deleted the app. Don't worry. I no longer have the sneakers app. So if you, maybe she'll surprise me with some shoes. Anyway. We all have some correction, some proof in our lives. Being tough on proofs, I have been tough on proofs. But my excuse can be, I didn't have a dad to teach me. I didn't have a father to show me how to correct my son and how to love my son, how to discipline my son. And that sometimes is our defense, right? We make an excuse and say, hey, look, I didn't have this. And it's a valid excuse. Until it's not an excuse. Right? Another one was raising your voice. So again, I have a valid excuse. I can defend myself. I can say, hey, look, one, I'm Hispanic. We're loud, right? We're loud about everything, right? We're excited, we're loud. We're mad, we're loud. We're quiet, we're still loud, right? We're loud. And so when I tell her this, I'm like, hey, look, this is how I learned it. Like, when growing up, like, whoever got the loudest won the argument. So, like, if I was louder than you, then you lost. Like, if you caved in and didn't want to go any louder, I won. And so that would be my excuse. It's valid, right? I mean, I grew up that way. I have to understand. She has to understand. It's a good excuse until it's not. Another one is the silent treatment. Again, the reversal of it. If you won the fight, another way you can win the fight is the silent treatment. Ignore them until they cave in, until you talk to them. Right? That was it. Like, if I lost the fight, I'm like, dang, I didn't get loud enough. All right, but guess what? I can hold a grudge. And I can be quiet, and I won't look at you, I won't talk to you, until you apologize for being too loud to me. Right? Again, I learned it. It's a valid excuse until it's not. Slow to forgive. That was part of the silent treatment. Like, hey, you know, if you're not gonna apologize for what you did to me, I'm not gonna apologize to you until you apologize to me, right? It's just a valid excuse again until it isn't. See, we all have to be reproved. We all have some correction. And we can receive it, or we can defend ourselves. We can accept it, or we can blame somebody else. And wisdom is telling us, hey, leave your simple ways and walk in the way of insight. Leave it and live. Live with joy, live with peace, live with community, live with purpose and meaning. And walk in the way of inside. You see, I have a valid excuse for every single reproof that Morgan told me. Until I don't. Until God says, hey, that's what you have to leave behind. Do you want to show your son that way? Are you willing to sacrifice your relationship with your son? Because that's how it was for you. Are you willing to leave the simple way and live and enjoy your son and have a relationship with your son and walk in the way of his son? We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to receive reproof? Are we willing to receive instruction? Are we willing to receive the teaching of God? You see, when we accept Jesus, yes, we accept His goodness and His forgiveness and His holiness, and we are covered in righteousness, and He calls us sons and daughters. But there's something about it that He loves us so much that He's willing to teach us. That's not how you live. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. There were many people who did not receive Jesus' teaching because they couldn't leave their simple ways. And there are many people who we share the gospel of Jesus who are unwilling to leave. And there are many people who say they've accepted Jesus, who say they're a Christian, that haven't left the simple way and lived. This can be convicting because it's true. Where is God teaching you? Where is your wife teaching you, right? Those who don't receive correction are easily offended. Those who don't accept correction think they are above other people. Ask yourself, where do I need correction? Forgiveness? Do I need to be corrected and forgive somebody? I've been holding this grudge and it's valid. And it's a great excuse until it's not. I need to extend forgiveness. Why? Because God forgave me. He had a valid excuse to condemn me. And yet He forgave me and saved me and redeemed me. Where do I need correction? Do I need to show compassion to somebody? Do I need to be patient with somebody? And here's the beautiful thing. It's a journey. It's going to take time. Like, I'm still learning how to parent my son. I'm still learning how to be patient with him. Every year, I find out that I just won't know nothing, and I'm learning. But God is so good that He's going to still correct me and teach me in the process. He's not expecting you to be perfect. He's asking you to receive His instruction, asking you to receive His teaching, asking you to receive His discipline. Are you willing to receive the correction, wherever it might be? Ask yourself, where do I need correction? Or you can ask yourself, where do I easily get offended? When somebody says something to me, do I immediately put a wall? And anytime, Morgan, I say, anytime I get mad at Bruce, and I'm like, oh, you're not, I gotta get this, right? And Morgan just gives me a look, and I like, instantly, like, she's not dealing with him, I gotta deal with him, he's not listening to her, and I can get offended. And I have been. But where do you get offended? Is it by your wife? Or she's just trying to tell you something? Hey, I need you to be patient. Is it by your husband? Hey, I just need you to show some compassion. Where do you get offended? And who's offending you? Why are they offending you? And how can you receive that with love and grace, right? There's obviously a way to say things like, you're not going to condemn that person. But you just got to tell them, hey, look, this is how it makes me feel. This is what happens when you say it like this, when you do this. When I raise my voice, Morgan shuts down. And she says, hey, look, when you raise your voice, I feel like I can't say anything. And so I have to understand. I'm like, look, man, that's how I was born. She's like, how am I supposed to love her if I can't do that for her? And when I expect her to do something for me, hey, give me 5 minutes to cool down. She on the other side has to understand that too. Like, hey, I can't go talk to him right away. He's not like that. He needs 5 minutes. Now, if it goes over 5 minutes, like, then I have, you know, there's a balance there. So for us, where do we get offended? Is it by a spouse? Is it by a friend? Is it by a parent? And where do you see yourself above others? Where do you see yourself above others? You see, most of us will be like, hey, I don't know. I look, everybody's equal. Everybody's the same until you think about it this way, where the enemy tricks us and deceives us. We look at the generation behind us or before us. And those of us who look at the generation behind us, we look down on them. Man, they don't know what they're doing. Man, back in my day, you couldn't get away with that. And you look at them, and you're condemning them, and you're putting them below you. Rather than saying, hey, look, I know the world's a little bit different, but guess what? There are many things that are the same, that stay constant, that stay true. And I can encourage you, and I can uplift you, and I can teach you. The younger generation has to receive it. But instead of condemning them and shaming them and putting them down, y'all are going all to hell, pick them up. Hey, look, I've made that mistake too. Or hey, I see where you're coming from, but understand this is how you follow the Lord. What if we encourage them instead of putting them down? And then on the flip side, the younger generation, the older generation, it's the same way. What if we looked at them and said, hey, they've been through life, and yes, maybe they don't know about technology, but guess what? They made it through. They're learning and they're adjusting. They have wisdom. What if we accepted their correction and their teaching because they have been through life? They had to understand how to get through life. It's both ways. The younger and the older, we have to understand and respect one another. And not put ourselves above one another. Husbands do that to their wives, and wives do that to their husbands, and friends do that to each other. Where do you see yourself above others? Because you cannot love, you cannot forgive, and you cannot accept somebody that you see yourself above. God has shown us that in Jesus. He came not to be served, but to serve. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. So when we do that, when we're willing to leave our simple ways, or the better question is, why do we leave our simple ways? John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son, of the only Son of God. And this is judgment. The light has come into the world. And people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. For whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been seen and carried out in God. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. That's why we need God sent Jesus not to condemn us, but to save us. Whoever believes. And here is where it gets hard. Here is where people begin to object or not receive the reproof or the instruction or the teaching or the discipline or the correction. You see, when we leave our simple ways, we have to receive this, right? Receive this reproof. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The only way to life is through Jesus, Son of God. And some people will not receive that. There's this beautiful gift given to us. There's this beautiful thread ready for us. But the only way we can receive it, only way is to leave our simple ways. Leave the way of thinking that, oh, I'm good enough, or I have church, or I read my Bible. No, the only way to receive it is to know that God so loved you and me that he sent Jesus to save us. But if you don't believe, you are condemned. That's not a good God. What? The first reason he sent Jesus was to what? Save. The order of the text matters. This is the instruction. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the Son, the only Son of God. There is condemnation. But don't just focus on that. The first part is the best part. There's salvation. There's freedom. There's joy. There's peace. There's purpose. There's meaning. There's life to live. If you leave it somewhere, and walk in the way of insight, knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But you have to leave something. We all do. We cannot walk in here and think, hey, I have nothing to be reproved of, nothing to be corrected on. You're lying. I'm sorry, but I have to tell you the truth. There is something that God is correcting in your life. There is something that God is trying to teach you. There's something that God is trying to instruct you. Are you willing to receive it? Because it is hard. There are many things that God has taught me that I have to leave behind. And it was hard. And it's still hard. But if I want to be obedient, I have to understand that I have to leave it behind. And walk in the way of insight, receiving his instruction, receiving his reproof. This is his teaching, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. There's light in this world. And people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. So everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. Least his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light. And so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Leave your simple ways and live. This is for all of us. And walk in the way of insight, enjoying the feast and the wine. In the communion with God, the Creator. For if you don't, there's condemnation. Amen. What is the way of insight? Proverbs 9:10-12 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise to yourself. If you scoff, you alone bear it. Leave the simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight, having the fear of the Lord. Why leave your simple ways? Walking in the way of insight is a skill, a transformation, sanctification. Is a gift of the presence of God. Will you lead your simple ways? Or will you walk in them to the depths of Sheol? 9:13-18 says this: the woman of folly is loud. She's seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the high places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. Add to him, and to him who lacks sense, he said, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the sea. Wisdom has prepared this, has built this building, pillars, and that is a feast. And yet, we see here the same wording. If you read it this morning or in the evening, you can underline the same exact wording. Come here. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. And what is she offering? Stolen water and bread that is stolen. Guess what? We all fall for it. There are commercials, there are movies that are loud and seductive. I go with this all the time. Avengers, it's one of those awesome movies. But guess what they're doing? They're avenging, they're taking revenge. What does God tell us to do? Man, we go all in for Avengers, man. I'm like, come on, Thor, come on, come on. Iron Man, like you want them to beat the evil person. And you get excited. And that's what folly is. It's loud and seductive. It's manipulating. It's deceiving. I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm saying be mindful of what you're watching. The music that you hear, I remember in high school, man, Lil Wayne was the jam. But his music, I listen to it now, I'm like, oh my gosh. This is demeaning to women. Wow, seductive. It has a great beat. Good lyrics, kind of. It makes sense, it rhymes, it does all this good, but it's loud and seductive. That's what we have to be mindful of. That's what we have to leave. There are some things that we have to leave behind. I don't listen to that anymore. Was it hard? Yeah. I was a youth pastor. I had to know what they're in, right? Like, oh yeah, they listen to this. They're on this social media. And it's so deceiving. And we can do that too with our words. Well, God makes me do this because I have to be in the know of this and that, or I have to follow this huge power because it's a little bit more conservative, or this is a little bit more liberal, or whatever it is. And you're like, okay, it's loud. And it's seductive, so then you become politically on one side or the other, and you can't be compassionate or understanding, you can't hear one another out, and you start degrading. Leave your simple ways and live, walk in the way of insight. Don't fall for the loud noise. Don't fall for the smooth talking to people. Get this pay raise. Just don't tell them that they did it. You just, you're the boss, and you did it basically. They're working for you. You don't give them credit. And you just say, hey, it was my idea. They just implemented it. It's not stupid. You can get your company. Now, we'll be okay with it. When you get the promotion, now you can promote them. Within, you can be like, hey, well, I'm going to have to go to the bus for a second for them, and I'm going to promote you. Lord, your Father calls the simple. I don't know if you caught that, but the wisdom, the lady wisdom, calls the simple. Those who have made decisions. And God has called us to Himself through Jesus. And He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? He has sent messengers. You know that book? You know that app? That's on your phone? There are many messengers teaching us, showing us, instructing us, correcting us. To follow the way of the Lord. He's still sending us. There are people in your life that have spoken truth to you. Are you willing to receive it? They have said something to correct you. Are you willing to receive it? They have said something to teach you. Are you willing to receive it? He invites us. This is his name, to seek and save the lost. He has prepared a feast. He's preparing a feast. He's preparing the table so that we get to celebrate and rejoice, leaving our simple ways and living with God with you and walking in the way of himself. We have to leave our simple ways. We cannot continue to make excuses. If I leave the simple ways, it's being the same as my father, my dad's good. I don't want to just, like, you think he's terrible. He wasn't there at times, and he wasn't there to teach me and guide me. He wasn't present. He'll submit that. I can make that excuse. Or I can say, God, I received your instructions. Yes, I didn't have what I thought I should have. I didn't have what other people had. But God, I received your direction. I received your discipline. And I'm going to walk in the way of insight, not just for my son, but for my son's son. And my son's son's son. So the four generations after me, they can say, looking back, like, he was faithful. He walked in the way of insight. So my son can say, hey, Dad, you've been awesome. I love you. Thank you for all this encouragement. Thank you when I'm dying. And he said, I love you. You have been awesome to me. And he can say that to me. And his son can say that to me. And his son can say to him, we have no excuse. Whatever has happened to you, receive the correction, receive the reproof. And walk in the way of insight. Surround yourself with people who will talk to you in truth and grace and love you and support you and walk with you. That is the gospel. Man, God loves us and he's walking with us through his Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us and to discipline us. That's when we get to say hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Because he's not leaving us here. He's saying, hey, you accept my son, you're good. Try to figure it out on the way. No, here's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And walk with me, and talk with me, and learn from me. That's what we get to do. We get to do that to our kids. Hey, Chris, I love you, buddy. You've been loud, but I love you so much. I just want to be patient. I'm going to show compassion to you. Camila, she is so funny. I'll tell you a quick story in the class. She's sneaky. Man, she's sneaky. And she knows it. And she knows she's cute. So she always gets away with it. which I feel bad for you because it's like, man, you've been in. Yeah, anyway. So, Morgan sent me this video. Mila sneaks off. And Morgan sent me this video. Mila is on the table. Now, on the table was a cake with tinfoil on top. Mila, you can see it. Opens his tinfoil and he starts grabbing handfuls of cake in her mouth. And he starts eating. And Morgan is on the phone and she's done it. He's like, yo, what are you doing? And she just looks at her and she goes, and she smiles. Cake! Now she's going to be speaking more. But I'm a teacher. You can't just speak like that, right? But here's the thing. God sees us. He sees the sneaky part of our lives. And he comes to us and he says, leave that way and walk away from the side. And he's telling each and every one of us today, I know he's speaking to someone. Whether you're willing to receive it or not is on you. Are you willing to receive the correction? Are you willing to receive the discipline, the rebuke? And say, God, even though it hurts, even though I don't like it, I know that you are good. I know that you are holy, and that you have carried me along the way. And that you sent your son, not to condemn, but to save, to teach, to show me the way of you. Are you willing to receive the correction? Is this your thing? He calls out for you right now. For you to receive him. And those of you who don't know Jesus, he's calling out to you. Now you can receive this, whatever, I can't convince you. I can't speak directly to you because I don't know you. But if he's talking to you, if he's convicting you, would you receive him today? Would you accept his teaching? Would you see that his love is so good and pure? That he knows your shame and your failures, your fears, and yet he's calling out to you to teach you. He's calling out to you so that you would live and walk in the way of insight. He's sending messages. Will your eyes be open to see? Will your ears be open to hear the gospel of Jesus? And so much. Just because God does not mean he doesn't correct you and teach you. Love as a son. Well, you lead your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. For the Lord is calling out to us that we would be a community, so that we would be a people that would be a light in this loud and dark world. And he's inviting those who don't know Jesus into him today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. God, may we receive your instruction. May we receive your reproof. May we receive your love and your mercy. And may we live. And as we live, may we walk in the way of it. With the Holy Spirit guiding us. Teaching us, leading us. God, pray for everyone here that they would ask these questions and give you praise and thanks to your loving Father. And give you thanks to Jesus for our Savior. And we honor you, Jesus, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, always today. Pleasure and me. It's an honor to hear your teaching. MC3, what a great day to me in the house of the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to teach you the myth about the Agathon and the Deuteronomy, and the youth, or the remember our Lord and Savior, and the great sacrifice that was made for our behalf. From the start, with the beginning verse in Galatians 5:13, sister, for you are all freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but in love become slaves to one another. This verse reminds us that true freedom is not about selfishness or individual gain, but rather about serving the living one another. This verse is a call to use our freedom with responsibility and prioritize the well-being and unity of our community. So in the context of communion, it emphasizes the importance of sacrificial love and unity in Christ as we partake in his body and blood together. So this past week, we had an opportunity to celebrate the 4th of July, day and the week of celebration and reflection of our nation's independence. So just as our nation unites under a shared vision of liberty and justice, so too do we gather as community believers in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup. We find unity, love, and power to overcome divisions. So let this moment remind us of the sacrifice made for not just our freedom, but for our earthly and spiritual freedom. May we honor those who pave the way and strive to build a world where we can experience true liberation and harmony. As we receive the bread and the juice symbolizing the body and blood of Christ, we remind of the ultimate sacrifice made for our redemption. So as we heard from Jesus this morning in Proverbs 9, as wisdom provides a feast for our minds and spirits, Jesus offers himself as the bread of life, nourishing our souls for eternity. Let us partake in the sacred meal of gratitude, seeking the wisdom and understanding of what can come from the Word of God. May we reject the allure of folly and instead embrace the invitation of wisdom to bring us into a deeper communion with the divine. I'm about to take us into a time of prayer. Once I'm finished prayer, we will ask you to come forward or to one of our tables in the back, where the table has been prepared for you. If you need help, raise your hand and bring communion to you. Also Jim and G will be up here to the left and the right to pray for you. You can rededicate or dedicate your life to the Lord. They'll be up here for that as well. So just once I finish this prayer, please come forward. Let us pray. So our Lord and merciful God, on this sacred day, we gather to commemorate the birth of our nation and partake in this beautiful tradition of communion and seek your presence and guidance. We come together in gratitude for the freedom we enjoy and the blessings you bestow upon us. Father, during this week, we remember the sacrifice of those who stood courageously and fought for the liberty that we cherish. We honor the men and women who dedicate themselves to the pursuit of justice, equality, and the pursuit of happiness for all. As we approach your table, we are all welcome and humbly recognize the importance of unity among us coexistence. May this sacred act of communion remind us that we are bound together as one nation under your love and care. As we come to your table, may this act of unity unite our spirits and bind us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us hear this message of your love, justice, and peace beyond this gathering and in our communities and in our world. It is in your holy, precious name we pray. Amen.